We were learning about Melechet Binyan and Soter, and we learned how the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos, that there is Binyan Bekelim, that if you create a vessel on Shabbos, that's a problem of Bone. We discussed a little bit of Soter, that just says you're not allowed to build a house on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take apart a house on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take apart a tent, which you will rebuild on Shabbos. So that we discussed a little bit, Soter and Bonet. Now we have to deal with something that's very common, and that is the vessels we use, which are almost disposable, but they're not really disposable. For example, your coffee can. Can you open a coffee can on Shabbos? So we know you're allowed to take off a lid that screws on and off. That's okay. You're allowed to open a cork, and now you use the bottle. But what about a can of sardines, where you're actually tearing off the metal in order to open it? So if you're going to cut it open, or if you're going to cut open a can of pineapples, so sliced pineapples come in a metal can. What's that called? A tin box, right? Where you have to cut off the top, and then you basically created a vessel. So you're creating a vessel on Shabbat. And sometimes, if you grew up in the United States, so Folgers used to have this big can of coffee. And everyone knew that when you were finished with it, you used it for crayons and pens. It was a perfect size. You had to make sure to open it in a way that it didn't have edges that would cut you. But you could definitely use the can for other things. So when you open it, you're creating a vessel. Sometimes people put the pineapple pieces back into the can, even though they say it's not so healthy. We said that mekalkel is asur midrabanan, but if you're doing mekalkel letzorech ochel, so then it's okay. So let's take a few examples. When you want to open a bag of bamba, is that bag open? Okay, so you can pass that here. So here we have a few opinions. Can you open the bag this way, where you open just the top? How do they make these? If you open it this way, so now you have a vessel. You can collect your garbage and put it in here. I'll tell you a nice little tip. When you're traveling, so sometimes you go away for Shabbos, and you're staying in Kochav Yaakov or whatever, and you're not sure if you can trust to leave your wallet behind. What? So a good idea is to bring along a bag like this, empty it, eat its contents, stick your money or credit cards in here, close it, put it in the garbage. Just make sure to take it out before you leave. If you're in a hotel where they might toss your garbage when you're out of the room, so that's not a good idea. But if you're in someone's house or something where you don't think they're going to toss it, so this is a perfect size to stick in money and credit cards. And just remember to take it out after Shabbos, right? But no thief is going to look in the garbage at a wrapper that looks like this, right? That's an easy way. What? I do this, yeah. I'm going to give away all my secrets. Now I have to figure out something else out. I'm on record here. What? Where do I stay for Shabbos? Okay. All right. Okay. So my point is that this is reusable. We might not reuse it because we're spoiled. But if you're traveling and you need a cup to drink from, you don't have anything, you could use this. So here we have two approaches to how we approach. Let's start. We spoke about a tin can, where if you really need to open it, So then there are opinions that say you can slice the bottom, make holes in the bottom, and then open the top. And then you didn't create a vessel because you can't really store anything in it. You cut it in a way that you didn't create a vessel. When it comes to a bag of bamba, when it comes to a bag of milk, so then Rabbi Feinstein is of the opinion that even though when you finish this bag of bamba, most people toss it, but for the time that you're using a vessel. And that's why Rabbi Feinstein is of a very stringent opinion that you may not open a bag of bamba this way. If you want to open a bag of bamba, you would have to continue opening it either on the bottom, or you'll notice that over here, right, the bags always have a place that it was really formed. They melt together the plastic here. And very often that's very easy. That's the place that's most easy to open it. And if not, you continue opening it along the edges, which means that you try to be careful not to cut letters. And then, if you do this, then all your bamba is going to be on the floor. So you have to do it with some talent, either over a bowl or something, right? So that as you destroy the vessel, as you're opening it, you spill out its contents into something. Same thing with a bag of milk. According to Rabbi Feinstein, when you open a bag of milk, so you really have to slit it along the middle so that it's not usable as a vessel. Rabbi Feinstein even doesn't want you to do it through a non-Jew, through a non-Jewish waiter. So that's a very stringent opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that you shouldn't open bottles on Shabbos, a Coke bottle, a can of Coke, because you're creating a vessel.
How about the waiter? What is the waiter? I'm saying, like, why is it... What
is it doing? It's just, I'm saying, he doesn't even allow you to do it through a non-Jew.
How is this connected to this topic? Meaning, in general, you're not allowed to...
It's not, right? Okay.
I got just a general question. What are we defining as a vessel?
Well, that's a good
question. It was a bottle, and then they put the cap on.
Right, that's a good question. Why did it lose its status? So one of the definitions of a vessel is something that you could put things in and take things out. That's called a petach akli. A petach is, it has an opening if you could put things in and put things out. If you have to break off the cap in order to pour out the drink and pour stuff in, so then it's not a vessel right now, because you have to break something off in order to use it.
A little like...
The perforated rock, that's a great question. You're 100% right. Yeah. It's not so obvious, but we see in the Gemara that they had barrels. When they'd seal the barrels shut, they'd put tar along the lid.
It's not tar. You don't even need a try-hard to open it.
That's true. But
to give you, on the opposite side, a jar of pickles or whatever, where there's no lining, that's a lot harder to open than a can of Coke.
Because of the vacuum.
Are there different classes of bottles?
Is it considered like you're making a vessel when you open a jar?
No, because unscrewing doesn't make a vessel, even if the unscrewing is hard. But if you have to break something to make it, then that action of breaking is considered. According to some, you're right. Exactly. There's room to discuss, like you're saying. Wait, what's the big deal with what I did? The question is also, some want to say that you're creating the cap. Rabbi Feinstein, I don't think that was his opinion, even though they say it in his name. I mean, they want to say when you break off the cap, you created a cap.
What's the problem with a bottle of wine?
It's not usable. It's got a cap.
I'm saying there's nothing, you're not breaking anything.
Taking off the cork.
You take the cork out, but you don't. There's nothing holding the cork in.
With a cork, there's no problem.
With a cork, there's no problem.
The problem is with a cap that you have to break off. And when you
cut it off, he all the time makes a hole into the.
So he's going with the opinion, right? That's an opinion that says the problem is in making the cap. But I heard from Rabbi Feinstein's son that was not what he meant. People say he meant the problem is you're creating the cap, and his son told me that's not. Right. Well, it's a lid. It's also a type of kli. You're right. Technically, it's not a kli you put things into. Coming back to here, so you buy a new pack of horseradish or a new pack of mayonnaise, and the jars are very often made of plastic. So if you remember before Shabbos to tear off the plastic lining, so that's fine. But if you didn't remember before Shabbos, so if you stick in a knife under the lid, you can take off the lid with that security seal and just use it that way, and that's okay, because you didn't break anything off. So that's a good way to do it. Now, I tried doing this with plastic drink bottles, and it didn't work. And I tried...
But what is the strategy?
If you put a knife under that loop that attaches itself to the cap, you can, with the mayonnaise or with horseradish, you can just pop off the cap with the security lid. You just... you can get it off. Now, what happens if you're a guest at someone's house and they're going to open their can of Coke? They're going to open their bottles.
Oh, okay.
So you're allowed to pass them the bottles, even according to Rav Moshe Feinstein's stringent opinion, being that technically you could access it by taking a knife and just slitting open the whole bottle. You could do that according to Rav Moshe. You didn't create a vessel. It's no different than opening a candy wrapper. If you wanted to, you could put the whole bottle in a bowl, slit it all open, you get all the contents, and pour it into different cups, right? You could. So I'm just explaining why the idea that you have access to it in a way that's not prohibited makes it that it's not muktzah for me. If the only way to access it was by doing something prohibited, so then that food's off limits for me on Shabbos. I wouldn't be able to pass it to someone down the table, even if they went with the opinion that says you are allowed to open it. Being that even if I'm going with Rav Moshe's opinion, I also agree there are ways of accessing it on Shabbos. I might not want to do that, but there are ways of accessing it. So it's not muktzah for me, so I have no problem passing it down the table. Before we take questions, just note that Rav Moshe's opinion is very stringent, and it is not the accepted opinion in Klal Yisrael. Most of Klal Yisrael goes with Rav Shlomo Zalman, and that's why Klal Yisrael, generally you'll see people opening milk bags, opening igloos. You have these little ices that come in a pack where you bite off the top, and then you hold it as the plastic, the remaining plastic holds the ices, what they call igloos in Israel. So people do that. According to Rav Moshe, that would be prohibited. But people don't go with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's opinion was not accepted here. Where people are more stringent is in regards to opening bottles on Shabbos. And there it would be good if people would open the bottles they want to use over Shabbos before Shabbos. This becomes especially challenging when you make a kiddush. If you're going to have 150 guests, we made our son's bar mitzvah, so we had to open all the bottles before Shabbos. After the Shabbos, think about it. We had my brothers and sisters, not my sisters, but sisters-in-law. We had the whole family over for Shabbos. We had a kiddush, so we had to open, let's say, 200 bottles before Shabbos. After Shabbos, you're going to have some leftovers. That could be like 45 bottles, which are open. So that's feels pretty wasteful. So give it to the next guy. I found a neighbor who was doing a bar mitzvah within a week. I gave him the bottle. So I'm saying he made good use out of it. But the idea is, according to Rav Moshe, that and here Rav Shlomo Zalman would also agree that the permanent bottles, the stronger plastic bottles, not your flimsy milk bag or your bamba bag, but the bottles that are of a stronger plastic, so there you would have to open it before Shabbos. And that's what you got to do. It's what we do in shul also. Before Pesach, if you have a lot of guests for the Seder, sometimes you have 2 days Pesach, sometimes you have 2 days Pesach, you have Shabbos, you have a 3-day Yom Tov, that means you're going to have to open a lot of grape juice and wine before Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, that's the name of the game. People have to get used to it. If you go with the opinion that making a hole in the cap helps something, so you have an easier time. But again, Rav Moshe...
Strange. When a couple, you sit on the table, the children, and it starts to drill holes into that plastic. So I ask myself, what is now the versa? To have a plastic cup, a Coke cup, or you start to work with it, like drilling holes in a plastic... It doesn't fit together.
Well, you just have the quartz screws.
It's not a
big job.
The question is,
luckily
okay?
So again, Rav Moshe, really, his son says that wasn't his opinion. Let's just deal with one more leniency. It's important. You buy a package of cottage cheese. You buy one of those plastic containers of cottage cheese or hummus. and what they have then is they glue on a plastic coating on top as the lid. That's okay to take off because that's like a lid that was glued on. You're allowed to take that off on Shabbos. So being that it's separate, it's not you're breaking something. You're just separating two things. You're separating the lid from the canister. So even though it's glued on, you're allowed to separate that. So hummus you'd be allowed to open on Shabbos, cottage cheese, yogurts, right? Yogurts that come in those cups and they glue on the plastic lid to the yogurt. You could open the yogurt on Shabbos. All of those are okay, even according to Rav Moshe. Yes?
Well, this is a general question. It relates to the, you said that someone who holds this opinion can benefit from someone who does not hold this opinion, who opened the bottle of Coca-Cola anyway. And this also goes into someone follows Rebbeinu Tam, or someone takes on Shabbat early, they can benefit from someone who is keeping, they're not keeping, before Shabbos, or they don't keep Rebbeinu Tam after Shabbos. And I'm saying, if we're saying that this is the halacha, then how can you benefit from someone who says the halacha is different?
Right. So that's why, that's what I was alluding to when I mentioned to Meir that according to Rav Moshe, you would not be allowed to benefit from it even if a non-Jew did it. And that's what I was explaining, that even according to Rav Moshe, there are ways to access the drink. So then the person did not give me access to something I didn't have access to before. Meaning, that's why I specified those two points. I was coming to show that if according to Rav Moshe, I can't ask a non-Jew to do it, then I also can't ask my Sephardi friend to do it. We used to always call them Sephardi Shel Shabbat, because the Sephardim would, they say, Chacham Ovadia permitted this and permitted that. So very often in the kitchen, in yeshiva, there were certain things that had to be done with the chulent or with the bottles. They'd say, where's my Sephardi Shel Shabbat? So it's not so simple. I can't ask. You know, when we go to a family event, so some of my brothers-in-law will open bottles on Shabbos. We don't. So if we're sitting at a table and all the bottles are closed, my kids will take the closed bottles and go to their uncle's tables and say, do you guys want a full bottle? We'll take your half full bottle. And they'll put down and take their open bottle. So my brothers-in-law already figured it out and they come sit at our table and say, we want to taste from your drinks. They seem to taste better. And they'll start opening all the bottles. Okay, I'm not fighting with them. But I can't ask them to do that. You're right. Mm-hmm. I can't ask them. I can benefit, but the reason behind it is not because I'm saying, hey, his opinion is good, my opinion's good, I'm doing my thing, he's doing his thing, and that's okay. If it were only that, that wouldn't be enough. Because then I'd still have the question, wait, isn't it muktzah for me? How could I access it? It's not accessible to me. The idea that I could access it would be more cumbersome, but I could. I could open it with a knife, pour it all into a bowl, and access it.
If it's a glass bottle... You wouldn't be able to, if you were to break it, you would get it to drink.
We could argue that. There are ways to do it. I'm saying you put it at the edge of the table, you break it, you let it slide down. I'm saying there are ways to do it. You run into questions of borer. I'm saying, but there are ways to do it. At any rate, coming back to here, there are times where we say, I go with this opinion, you go with that opinion, there's no problem, I'll give you maftir yona, but I'm not going to benefit from it, or I will benefit from it. It depends a little bit on the level of you're going with it, for example. Most people, when they do Rabbeinu Tam, So they're saying Shabbos really ended 35 minutes after sundown, like the custom is in Israel. I want to be stringent. I'm going to go through Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, and I'm going to wait 72 minutes after the sunset before I do tasks Matzei Shabbos. How much time do you wait at the end of the fast, Tanis Esther? Will you do melacha on Friday afternoon, 10 minutes after sundown, because you'll say it's not yet Rabbeinu Tam? So if a person lived 150 years ago and there were towns in Europe where they did Rabbeinu Tam in both directions, they were lenient after sundown. You could see people doing work 10 minutes after sundown because they were going with Rabbeinu Tam all the way. And that meant that even on the rabbinic fasts, they waited Rabbeinu Tam. They always went with Rabbeinu Tam on everything. So then Be'emet, they would have a problem having a Jew do work for them Matzei Shabbos before Rabbeinu Tam. But if a person says, of course, I'm going with the custom in Israel, that what's become accepted here in Israel today, and it's been this way, it seems, for almost a millennium, that we don't do Rabbeinu Tam. And I do a stringency, I wait Rabbeinu Tam. So then that's a different deal, benefiting from other people when I know I'm just being stringent. Saying it's not always the same. There's also a difference between my asking them and them doing it for their own good. Meaning sometimes a person does it because they want it. The person opens the bottle of Coke because he wants to drink from it. So then if technically it's not muktzah for me, so then he's allowed to go with his rabbi, I'm allowed to go with mine. I don't have to force my opinion on him.
I'm not trying to equate this to this example of if a non-Jew, if a Jew desecrates Shabbos, so you're not allowed to benefit from it. Even if you don't ask, I'm saying you definitely don't ask it. But there was an example of, I was reading about it, like a Jew turns on the light in the stairwell. So you're not supposed to, just because you could walk from before, but now that you have an extra light, you're not supposed to, check your keys or, walk too fast. Because that's a benefit that you're only able to do by the light that the Jew...
It's a long discussion. It's, again, we're not... That's why I began with saying... We respect, we value the other opinion here. We're not saying these Jews are desecrating Shabbos. When a Taimani puts his soup on the fire on Shabbos, I don't say, boy, my daughter better not marry his son. I say, if she marries him, she'll have an easy life in that sense. They're going with the Rambam. They're good kosher Jews. That's wonderful. I don't go with the Rambam. I'm also a good kosher Jew. That's so. But I wouldn't be able to tell a Taimani, hey, you're eating by me today, so I'm going to wait with my soup. You're just going to show up on your way to davening, toss it on the plata, and continue. Right? We'll all enjoy it. You're doing it for yourself. Don't worry, you're eating that hot soup. I wouldn't say that, right? In my house, I have to keep the halacha the way is my tradition, even though he's my guest. If he'd ask me, should I open your bottles on Shabbos? The answer is no. If he does it, now I'm not saying, oh boy, Chil Shabbos. I'm saying there's a difference. I'm not going to ask him to help me set up the plata so I benefit from his going with his opinion. In yeshiva, they're sometimes lenient with this, and there's more to be discussed because the yeshiva is really a bunch of people with different backgrounds getting together. It's a little bit different. But in your own home, you can't do that. Now, your example of Shabbos, I accepted Shabbos, he didn't yet accept Shabbos, there's no problem with that. Because I also agree that he's allowed to do Malacha now. It's not yet sundown. You accepted Shabbos an hour early. Next week they're moving the clock, they told me. So next week we start having early Shabbos again. Mazal Tov.
Rod? You lose an hour of sleep.
Seder. So good thing next Thursday we're not doing the model Seder. Okay, we're doing it Sunday. I'll have time to recover. So you also agree that for him it's not Shabbos. So then it's okay, you should benefit from his doing work. Over here, according to Rav Moshe, you're not supposed to benefit. And he shouldn't be doing it either. He shouldn't be opening the bottle. So then how can you benefit? That's why I explained that we technically, even according to Rav Moshe, we have access to it. But I would not ask him to do it. I don't go and put my closed bottles on their tables and say, why don't we just switch? Because I'm not going to be an accomplice to their opening bottles on Shabbos. I respect them, I love them, I'm willing to give them after Yonah, but I'm not going to take a part in it. Yeah? I don't stop my kids from doing it. They're kids. Saying when they'll grow older, hopefully they'll understand it. Maybe they'll go to a yeshiva where their Rosh Yeshiva will hold its mutter and fine. I mean, I'm not going to fight them on it.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
It's related to what we're talking about. Basically, there's a possibility in opening it a regular way, meaning a not natural way, and therefore you're making it different, not making it clear as we, the way we understand it. Then why can't we just open a regular way? Because we understand this is whatever it is, this bottle, we have a possibility. It's in essence, we're not making it clear because in general we're opening it in a way that's. We are able to open it in a way which is permissible, and therefore this bottle has the status of not being a kli.
I agree with your question. I'm not sure what the answer is. I agree. It's a very good point. You're saying it was accessible, like the mayonnaise container. I didn't need to tear off that piece. So it's easier to do it this way, but why is that called making a kli? I agree. I'm not sure if we can say that Svara and therefore be matir to do it. I don't know. I don't know if I will be able to find out. If you remind me, I'll try. I don't know. It involves a little bit of work. I agree with the question. Yeah. I don't know.